Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Okay, let's assemble ourselves. I hate to break up social hour. I feel like a ill-repute social director, but... Let's begin with a word of prayer. Thank you, Brian and Wes. All right. Let's see, a couple of announcements and things we want to talk about. First of all, I'm just letting you know, if you're all interested, the yearly, I think this is the 31st year or something, of the Pre-Tribulation Conference. It's here in Dallas. It's December the 3rd, which is Monday the 3rd, through Monday the 5th, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They used to have it through Thursday, but everybody left on Wednesday. So they decided, well, if they keep it through Wednesday, everybody will leave Thursday morning. So this is, I don't know what the topic's going to be. Tim LaHaye is the president of this, and he'll be there. Tommy Ice, who does a lot of defense of the pre-trib view throughout really the world, he'll be there. You can go on the internet to the pre-trib conference. It'll come up, and you look up the schedule and see who's going to be there and how much it is for the 3 days, that kind of thing. So just bear that in mind, and that's about all the information I have. And so, however, just if you're interested in these kinds of information, Hal Lindsey has a weekly show. And, I mean, he really tries to keep up with what's going on, relates it to things going on in Ezekiel and Revelation and different books of the Bible, and tries to give you a good grip on what's happening prophetically in the world and how he sees it according to the Word of God. So, just letting you know, I don't know. I know that Phyllis Music gets it before Thursday. It comes on Friday here, Friday evening. So you can check the schedule and see when and where, how to get it if you're interested in that at all. But it is very good. He keeps up with what's going on in Egypt, Syria, Iran, Iraq, all and all around Israel, and relates a lot of things that are going on to the Bible. So just be that as it may. He's very strong. He thinks the rapture is close. And all I can tell you is it's closer than it was for Paul. So that I can assure you. And but things are looking good for the Lord calling on the church. Let's see, as far as our prayer is concerned, Terry, how's young Thomas? That's all we get. Well, we need to be in fervent prayer. Good. That's so wonderful. Now, Terry, without going through a lot of detail, share with us what happened to one of Thomas's acquaintances. Did the death of a friend fighting cancer have any kind of an influence on Thomas? Okay. Thomas's? What a shame with that many young people. What an opportunity for the gospel. Gosh, what an opportunity. Wow. Well. I like your hope. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? My mind's on something else. Yes. Oh.
My boss decided to be the new VA to lead the establishment of the new organization.
Wow. See? You asked God for one thing, he said, no, I got something better. That's great.
At least I don't have to supervise people.
Well, you talk to Chris. He'll tell you how to supervise people. Oh, well, that's wonderful. When do you start the new position? Okay. Okay. Very good. All right. Pat's not sick, is she?
No, sir.
No.
In Indianapolis.
Oh, okay. With her family. Good. All right. Good. Good. All right. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Huh? Yeah. Let's continue to be in prayer for Lily. I'm sorry. And how are you doing, darling? After December? All right, 17th. Okay. Very good. Well, we'll continue to be in prayer. Yes, absolutely. Yes, sir. It's not good being your brother-in-law. Good grief. Wow. Okay. So.
He's in Ohio. I told him to go to the polls anyway.
Let's keep our priorities straight here. Yes.
I do have a prayer request. I don't know this family. I was talking to our pharmacist yesterday when I was getting a prescription for Thomas, and she was out being, you know, how Thomas kind of explaining how we're going off the prison of the office medical. And she has a friend who had a bummer, had AML just with Thomas, 40-year-old, which is a 2-year-old friend, and she lost her. She got Graft versus Host Disease, the thing that I was worried about with Thomas. And then on top of that, she was 50 days out transplant. They just told her she was free to start doing things regularly, and she got pneumonia. And that's what got her. Because she was at 50.
Wow.
So that's why I still work, you know, Thomas still can get, you know.
Yep. That's why we got to continue to be in prayer for Thomas daily. Daily. Yeah. Well, God knows him, so we can be in prayer. Right. Any other prayer requests? The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has believed in Jesus Christ as Savior by faith alone in Christ alone, and knows how to be led by the Holy Spirit in regard to the offertory. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offering by prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before the throne of grace and we start off by thanking you. We have so many things to thank you for. Thank you for this assembly. Somewhere that we can come together, worship together, fellowship together, encourage one another. Thank you for our music. singing praises to you. Thank you for outreach to the young people, so many different ways and homes. Thank you for the outreach of our missionaries. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the internet keeping us on, letting the messages get out. Father, we just thank you so much. And we pray now, Father, that you will continue to pour into this humble church's cup, that we'll have to drink from the saucer because of the overflow of blessing. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Begin with a word of prayer before we go into the Word of God. Purpose of this prayer is to orient yourself to your dependency on the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, things are darkened in America, our beloved country. We need you, Heavenly Father. But we also understand why we need you. Your response is to our turning to you. So often, both Christian and non-Christian isn't even aware how much they need you. So, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see in the passage we're going to look at this morning. Open our eyes, influence our life. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. We've just been through three major presidential debates. Each candidate got to speak, then the other rebutted or presented their view. We're going to look at a great debate in the Bible. Now, what you want to understand about politics, the most fundamental thing about politics is view of man. What is your view of man? That's the most fundamental issue in politics, the nature of man. Is man a product of the evolutionary development and needs to be taken care of like you take care of a pet, take care of a dog? So, is that your view? That man needs to be taken care of? Or is your view that he is created in the image of God and is to be free, designed to take care of himself, and depend not on government, not on man, but on God? What's your view of man? So we're going to look at a debate this morning, ever so briefly, but nevertheless we'll take a look at the great debate that's going on. Now, the debate is recorded in Matthew chapter 4. So let's open the Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Now, historically, the rise of politicians and politics and government is man's existence in the battle of poverty, in the battle of want, the battle of need. How are we going to solve man's needs? This is the fundamental issue in dealing with poverty. It's right here that we could talk about how the love of money is the root of all evil. But we're going to look at this great debate. The platform of evil assumes that man is a cosmic body. Therefore, his problem can be resolved by the cosmic system, by the cosmos. So the great debate is in chapter 4 of Matthew, and as we're going to see when we get there, Satan speaks first. Satan gets to speak first. At these various debates, you speak first, Mr. President, you speak first, the other candidate, and so we'll do this kind of thing. So let's just get up to the debate. Then Jesus. Okay, remember his very name is the namesake of a great warrior in the Old Testament. But he is the issue in history. Was led up by the Spirit. Okay, was led up means from a lower place to a higher place. The aorist tense is a point in time in history. This is a dramatic time in history. This is going to be a dramatic debate going on. And what's important here is that passive voice. Jesus was led by the Spirit. He received leading. People, the Jesus Christ lived by the Holy Spirit as we're to live by the Holy Spirit. We studied in the 1 Corinthians class just a little bit ago where Paul compared himself with the Corinthians. I am weak, but you're strong. What's he saying? People, you have to realize how weak you are to depend on the Holy Spirit. If you think you've got enough doctrine, you've got enough ability, you've got enough accomplishment, you don't need to depend on the Holy Spirit moment by moment. You won't. But if you realize you're weak, then you'll be strong in the Holy Spirit. So he is led, he received being led by the Holy Spirit. So the immediate source of the Spirit, he walked by the Holy Spirit just as we walk by the Holy Spirit. Now look where the debate takes place. In the wilderness. People, this is the battlefield of the spiritual warfare. You and I are in a battle in the wilderness. The wilderness is the world. We're in the wilderness. We're in this battle. But this debate is going to take place in the wilderness. The battlefield. Jesus Christ leads Jesus Christ. Think about this now. He doesn't lead Christ away from the wilderness. He doesn't lead Christ away from the battle. People, he's not going to lead us away from the battlefield. He's not going to lead us away from the battle. You're in the battle. One of the most disgusting things of various religions, including the Roman Church, but namely others, monks, they go off in some mountain, they put on a robe, and they're not to think anything bad, see anything bad, do anything bad. I mean, that's not what we're here for. The Holy Spirit doesn't turn you into a monk and hide you in a closet. You're in a battle. Jesus Christ is getting ready to go into this debate. Now, he led him into the wilderness for the purpose to be tempted. That's going to be our debate. Who will win this great debate? Whether Christ will accept the platform of evil or continue, stay with the platform of grace. Today in America, we have a choice to accept the platform of evil or the platform that God has designated. And I don't want you to miss this point, people. The platform of evil is a platform that will take care of you. Be sure you understand the platform of evil. It is a platform that will take care of your needs, your wants. While the platform of grace, you may suffer. You may not get all your wants satisfied. You may not get all your wants satisfied the way you want. So right from the beginning, we start with a problem in this debate. The platform of one, I'll take care of all your needs. Platform of the other, I'll take care of all your spiritual needs, but not necessarily all your physical needs. For the purpose to be tempted, now look, by the devil. By the way, the word tempted means to break down. This debate is to break down each other. Which one is going to break down? By the devil. I like this, people. I want you to get the drama. Satan himself comes to the platform. He does not send one of his helpers. He does not send some human being, some representative, one of his stoolies. He doesn't do that. I mean, this is a tense moment. Here is Jesus Christ, the Son of God in the flesh. Here is Satan. I don't know how he appeared. We're not told how he appeared, but he's there. Satan is there, representing himself. This is a very dramatic and a very important debate. So important, Satan's there. So we have the two people, or the two that are involved in the debate, Jesus Christ in his humanity, and Satan in his supernatural powers. All right, let's go to verse 2. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. Now, people, this is an important historical setting of Satan's platform of socialism and evil. It's always promoted. Listen now, Satan's platform of evil is always promoted when there's human want. That Jesus Christ is hungry is not accidental to this debate. It is pertinent to it. So the platform will be laid of the evil of Satan's platform when Jesus Christ is very hungry in human want. The reason people think that socialism, communism works, that the government purposefully keeps it in want. It does that. Because people, as long as I can keep you just a little hungry, you're going to depend more and more on me. You're going to thank me. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this. That's the whole objective of socialism. It is not to make people free, because if you're free and independent and doing very well, you won't thank almighty government. You won't thank the platform that's taking care of you. It's got to keep you down by design, people. It is not designed to promote individuals. You want to understand this about this debate. And I'm talking about the one in the Bible. That it happens to overflow with the political one today, that's not a mistake. But what I want you to understand is, this is the heart of socialism. Keep you in want. Keep you hungry. Keep you wanting things. Keep you there so that you will continue to depend on the government and thank the government. Now, there's a lot to be gained by the 40 days, 40 nights, but we're going to move on with the political platform that's going on here, the debate. Having man where he wants them, Satan comes in with his platform of evil at the time when man is in need. The word for hungry refers to physically being hungry. Christ's body is in need of food. People, there are millions of people in the world today are in need of food. I dare say anyone in this room has never really experienced hunger. Not if you've remained here all your life. I'm talking about hungry. I'm talking about not knowing where the next meal's going to come from. I'm talking about maybe eating a little bit each day. You go to Africa, you go to India, this is the way people live. Jesus Christ's body is hungry. Very hungry. Ideal plan, ideal time and opportunity for the platform of evil. So, you got to understand what hunger is. And right here, people, is the failure of socialism and communism, even liberalism. They claim that hunger is the cause of suffering and sin, and inequality is the cause of hunger and sin, and if we can take care of man's needs, man will be happy. That's what this platform is built on. We take care of the wants of this evolutionary creature, and he'll be happy. Think about it. Been a long time since I had a dog, but I know. I feed it, play with it, have it outside exercising and all. It's happy. Bring it in when it's cold. Bring it in when it's hot. Just take care of it. They're happy. And that is what you and I are under the platform of evil. We're evolutionary products. If we take care of your needs, you'll be fine. Take care of your food, take care of your education, take care of your hospitalization. People, why does not the world not worry, the government not worry about homosexuality, premarital sex, extramarital sex, all these kinds of things? You just get your own happiness that way you want. We'll take care of the other, you can take care of that, and you'll be happy. This is the platform. That's why they cannot control those kind of things, nor do they even want to. Therefore, we have at the beginning of the debate, Satan speaks first. He gets to lay out his solution first. And the tempter, that's the one who tempts, came and said to him, here it comes now, before Jesus Christ, and said, this is his platform, if you are the Son of God. Okay, first class condition, since you are the Son of God. Now, of course, we could spend a great deal of time here. And I wish you'd come on Wednesday night where we're studying the journey to the cross, and we've now moved to Jesus Christ before Caiaphas this Wednesday night. And Caiaphas is going to make an interesting statement, people. If you're the Messiah, the Son of God. Where did he get that? Son of God is not in the Old Testament. The expression Son of God does not occur in all of Old Testament writings. Where does Caiaphas come up with relating Son of God, Messiah? We're going to see where. But that's a very important issue. Now, before Annas, the great issue was his teaching, his followers. Remember, the world hates you if you follow Christ. So Annas wanted to know those two things. Caiaphas has gone deeper now. You're the Son of God, the Messiah. So this is coming up, but we got to move on from that at this point. So what I want you to see is this slander here. What is he saying in our study? What's Satan saying? If you are the Son of God. Okay, here is in effect what he's saying. In putting it in our terms, your capitalism isn't working, is it? Look, you're poor. Look, you're hungry. Look, you don't have this. Look, you don't have that. Your capitalism isn't working, is it? See? Your Son of God isn't working. Your capitalism isn't working. Your old-fashioned constitutional ideas are not holding up, are they? You're hungry. Why are you holding on to this old constitution? And our current president's made it very clear. It's outdated. He does not want it. He does not respect it. It's not working. We're hungry. Nobody's taking care of our medical needs. Look how horrible things are. Solution. Look at it. Here's his platform. Command these stones to become bread. Command. We have an aorist imperative. The aorist imperative says, in time of need now, command the stones, turn to bread. You're in need now. If you weren't in need, there'd be no need for this command. If you weren't in need, there'd be no need of our socialistic plan. But you're in need. So therefore, is the challenge to this command. Now, let me tell you something. I think we all know it, but let me just say it for saying's sake. Make sure we're all on the same page here in this debate. Jesus Christ could. He could have turned those stones into the best French bread oozing with butter. I mean, just so good. He could have turned it into a thick T-bone steak if he wanted to, which would be better for me. See? If he wanted to. But he refused to do so. The sovereignty of God, the omnipotence of Jesus Christ, the deity of Christ, could have commanded. And it would have been done. But he would have stopped depending on the Holy Spirit. He would have stopped depending upon God. People, that's what the government wants you to do. Stop depending on God. There is no God, first of all. Don't depend on God. Depend on us. We will take care of you. You don't need God. He doesn't exist. You depend on us. We will take care of your wants. We will take care of you. So command these stones to turn to bread is a command to stop depending on God, stop depending on the Holy Spirit, and I'm talking about the humanity of Christ, and I'm talking about the human race, and start depending on us who will take care of all your needs. Command in order that these stones, these unproductive part of the earth, should become productive. Now, if you begin to see this, you're beginning to understand the grace of God. God takes that which is unproductive, mankind, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, causes him to become productive. This is what Christ is going to be leading up to with his response. May become. Now, may is the subjunctive of potential. Not if Christ can. But the potential depends on whether Jesus Christ will give in and turn the stones into bread. All right, let's take a look at bread. This introduces Satan's evil platform. This introduces Satan's view of man. Anthropology of evil. The view of man is, take care of man's wants and you solve all man's problems. That's what the bread represents here. Take care of your physical needs. This is the view of anthropology, the view of man, by the political platforms in America today. Socialism is nothing new to man. This is the first principle of the great debate between Christ and the devil. The solution is bread. This is the banner of bread. And bread represents man's wants. Bread is used here to represent our food, our clothing, our shelter, the things that we need, even our medical care. So, man is soma, body, and that's all you are. That's all you are through evolution, body. Take care of that body, just like we do a dog. I am so disgusted when I read or hear about people abusing an animal. I don't understand that. I can understand going and punching somebody else in the face, but abusing an animal that's helpless or a child? Don't understand that. But you see, people got to understand we're just body. As you take God away, more and more from our society, we're going to think that way more and more. Man is nothing but an animal. And if I kill you, I kill you. No big deal. If I kill myself, why do you think there's such an increase in suicides of teenagers? We've removed God from society. Why is there so much crime and sin in young people? We've removed God. They're not responsible to anything. See, the man is nothing but a body. He needs to be taken care of. We're going to take care of you. That's the whole point here. The whole evolutionary process is just the foundation of man's ideal of man, ideology of man, philosophy of man, and that always influences your politics. Your politics is determined by your view of man. If the government takes care of you, you will praise the government. You will worship the government. You will surrender your freedoms if they'll just take care of you. And as we have more and more people in our society who don't care about freedom, as long as you take care of their needs, let them take care of their sexual needs any way they want, perverted or otherwise, they're happy. Just keep feeding me. When you stop feeding, revolution. But you just take care of me. So Satan's platform of evil is the banner of bread. Let's note a few things about it. Now, I'm already running out of time. Okay. One, however, the Cowboys don't play till 7 o'clock. So I got till 6. Except the food out there. Huh? Point one. Get back to it. All right. One, Satan's platform starts with a view of man, a view of anthropology. That man is cosmic body only, material. His life energy is cosmic. Man's problem is poverty or want of food and care. Fighting for existence. Therefore, turn the stone into bread. Man will follow you, run after you, and be ever grateful and obedient for you. And people, Jesus Christ could do that. All who follow me, I'll give you a lot of food. Take care of all your needs. He doesn't want that kind of people. He wants faith. In the midst of turmoil, when I'm dying of starvation, when I'm dying of want, will you still trust me? People, God is not a breadline. We've got to understand that, what's going on in his political platform. These are desires of Satan, to be worshipped, to be feared. See, the fear comes in, their fear that you'll take it away. Fear that the government will take it away. Don't upset the government, they'll take away our needs. Worship them, praise them. That's what Satan wants. Satan wants to be feared, like a controlling father or husband. Satan wants that. He wants to be worshipped. I take care of everything. I supply everything. Point two. The banner of bread is the banner of security. Earthly bread is the banner of security. This is the banner that will make all men follow you, vote for you. Today in the United States, this is the promise of the evil system of both parties. We will feed the poor. We will educate everyone. We will clothe everyone. We will give Medicare to everyone. Satan offers the same thing to man today that he offered Christ then. Take care of all your needs with the food. Forget about trusting God. Forget about that. Take care of your needs. Jesus Christ will reject his offer. Three, the promise of bread is the assurance of existence and foregoing of death. The promise of bread is the assurance of existence, the foregoing of death, prolonging life, and the absence of want. Makes a great platform, doesn't it? I vote for that. Take care of everything. Don't have to want anything. Who needs God? Who needs faith? Who needs Christ? The government. Four, by making this first appeal, making this the first appeal of Satan, Satan presents another prevalent view of man, the anthropology of evil. There is no crime, no sin, no immorality, only hunger and want. That's the reason that people do all those things, hunger and want. Take care of these things, you'll end the crime. You'll end sin. Take care of man's wants. Five, today, Satan feeds the world in the name of good. doing this for the betterment of man, telling man he cannot take care of himself. Therefore, give up his freedom, let the government take care of him. If you remain free, under some kind of system like capitalism, you will not be able to feed yourself. Take a look at it. It's not working, is it? It doesn't work. You cannot take care of your wants. We, the government, can take care of you. We, the government, can supply all your needs, all the bread you need. 6. Therefore, man today will say to government, make us slaves. Take away our freedom. Take away our guns. Take away our rights. But take care of us. People, even the worst slave owner, and that is evil, slavery, but just taking it, they had some place for them to sleep. It was a shack. Generally, water would come through if it rained. Gave them food. Took care of them in that sense. No freedom. Taken care of. Taken care of. That's what government wants to do. We'll take care of you. See? What does government say to old age? Social Security, Medicare, and old person answers? What do I need of freedom? What do I need of it? I have no capacity. And their fear of death and hunger is overwhelming. They have no need of freedom. So they're ready to buy into the government deal. It's just amazing how he works with this whole thing of one. You're hungry, Jesus. Turn the stone into bread. Quit trusting God to supply your need. We have a maximum number of people in society, in a nation, ready to vote their freedom away for our physical security. You have a society ready to be sold into slavery, people. It's just, that's how closely they go together. 7. Satan's platform is to do away with the curse put on man after the fall. The curse is work. We're going to do away with that. We're going to do away with what God said. Remember, there is no God. 8. Man is convinced today that freedom and security are incompatible. The government's guaranteed us that. Government teaches you that in school. Freedom and security are incompatible. Freedom, some form of capitalism, demands that people find their own security. See, that's what capitalism and freedom does. It demands you have to take care of your own security. You have to take care of your own food. You have to take care of your own health. You have to take care of it yourself. Government comes along and says, you can't. We'll do it for you. We'll take care of these things for you. And just one little footnote, parenthetical remark on capitalism. Been watching The Men Who Made America, and they take these horrible circumstances and they say this is where capitalism failed. People, these people have not read Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations. Now that book is about that thick in paperback. And I'll guarantee you, not one of those people that say those kind of things even have read page one. But under the true concept of laissez-faire capitalism laid out by Adam Smith, you don't do people that way. Not under the capitalism. So they think capitalism is where you make money and enslave people at work. That's not capitalism as it was inscribed by Adam Smith. But I wonder how many people have even begun to read it. Even read sections of it. Oh, but we like to use that word. I dare say very few people even know what that word means. In fact, it wasn't even in the Wealth of Nations, by the way. So it's just so important we understand the proper system in that area of existence. Okay. I have some other things here, but we've got to move on. The banner of bread captures all men, enslaves them, and causes them to worship the giver. Satan, in the name of government. The banner of bread given by Satan is a lie. It's great deceit. Had Christ accepted this platform of Satan's, without depending on God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, had he accepted this, it would be the end of any salvation. There'd be no need of walking by faith. Okay, let's go now to Christ's turn to speak. It's now his rebuttal. So let's look and see what Christ has to say. In his rejection to feeding the world, Christ presents another view of man, God's view of man. This is important, people. God has a view of man. Christ has a view of man. Satan has a view of man. Christ's view of man is that man is fundamentally has an eternal soul that will exist forever. And where it will exist depends on decisions made now. That's Christ's view. He's not an evolutionary animal. Man in need not of earthly bread, but of bread for the soul. So our passage says in Matthew 4, but he answered, verse 4, but he answered and said, the platform of Jesus counters the platform of Satan. Satan's platform avoids the real need of man. The real need of man is a spiritual need. Satan's platform rejects that. Jesus Christ rejects Satan's platform and offers himself crucified. Freedom for the soul and bread for the soul. So when he says he answered, the aorist tense is vitally important here because it tells us this is Christ's final answer. Here is Christ's statement to Satan, Satan, no, I reject your platform. Look what he says. It is written, with result that it stands written forever, Deuteronomy 8:3 that we don't have time to look at right now, man shall not live by bread alone. Ho anthropos, the man, mankind. Jesus Christ did a very profound thing. Here is the true nature of mankind. He is not soma body. Ho anthropos, the nature of man. Satan's platform of the view of man, evolutionary creature to be taken care of. Jesus Christ's platform of man, man needs salvation in Christ. Man is more than a physical body and needs a lot more than only Christ can provide, not the government. People, man will die without food. That's the whole point of the platform of Jesus Christ. What is living? What is living? Is it existing as a slave? Existing with an empty soul? Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. People, what's your view of man? Is man an animal that needs to be taken care of? Or is he a free creature, created by God? Let's take a look at Jesus Christ's platform. One, in refusing to turn the stones to bread, Jesus Christ refused to arbitrarily feed the world. That's a very important word here. In refusing to turn the stones to bread, Jesus Christ refuses to arbitrarily feed the world. He refuses to put an end to hunger, which is the solution to hunger, to poverty. And Jesus Christ could have done this, people. By accepting the platform of Satan, he could have satisfied the universe need of food and solved all hunger. Think about it. No more hunger anywhere in the world. He could have done that. Two, a platform to abolish poverty is not the issue. Physical poverty of man is not the problem. I know our schools make it that. I know education makes it that. I know writers make it that. That's not the problem of man. The problem of man is spiritual poverty. spiritual poverty. We have to understand what man is. Is man simply soma, and that's his problem? Or is man a spiritual being? It's spiritual poverty. Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry came into contact with the poor. He never relieved the social problem. He didn't go around ending everybody's poverty. Had he, we would have no poverty. Christ did not give food. He gave the gospel. And we could sit there and say, how cruel of him. You've got to understand anthropology. You've got to understand man. What is man? Three, in rejecting the platform of evil, Jesus Christ refused to make social welfare the goal. He is adamantly opposed to the social gospel. It is divine power, the means of obtaining it. Christ refused to use his sovereign power to end man's problems. He instead goes to the cross, dies on the cross, rises again, and that solves man's problem. That solves our real problem. You have to understand what man's real problem is. Man's real problem is not poverty. Man's real problem is in the soul. That's his real problem. Four, in rejecting Satan's platform, places the decision on man, not on the government. Freedom in Christ or slavery in the plan of evil. What good is freedom? Think about it now. What good is freedom if I have no bread? What good is capitalism if it isn't going to feed me? That's the basis of Satan's whole argument. That's the whole basis of what Satan is selling the world right now. What good is freedom? You don't have freedom. Look what you got with freedom. You got a messed up society. You got people in what? Crimes. Lack of happiness. We will offer you the solution to these things. The solution is physical. And many people are buying into it. Guess that's what we are. Just animals. Take care of me. Feed me. I'm a dog. I'm a cat. I'm a horse. Whatever it is, animal you want to be. I'm just an animal. And we have too many people leaving and forsaking God. No. Listen, I'm created with a soul that will exist for eternity. That's more important. That's the greater issue. But the world isn't thinking that way anymore. By the way, this is why Calvinism is so wrong in its view of God. God makes everyone respond to his love. There's no freedom to love God under the Calvinistic view. You are designed to create God. You're nothing but, they wouldn't say animal, you're nothing but a walking computer. And God has put a chip inside you that says you will believe in him, that says you will respond to him, you will do this to him. People, that's not love. That old thing of the love potion. Boy, I wish I had some love potion. No, you don't. Maybe in humor. Maybe in fun. But you don't. What good is love if it's not freely given? What good is it? It's of no value. Many people are loved because they've got money. They're not loved. They're not loved at all. And if they fool themselves that they're loved, they're fooling themselves to the lie. People, we have to understand anthropology. We have to understand man. What is the best for man? And Jesus Christ has made that decision. Point five, by rejecting the platform of evil, Christ opened himself to rejection, criticism, condemnation, hatred. Man will say of Christ and of freedom, he doesn't feed us physically. That's why a lot of people are turning to the social gospel. Come to Christ, he'll take care of you. Come to Christ, he'll satisfy all your needs. People, he doesn't. He doesn't. That's not part of the gospel. You have to make up your mind, what is the real issue here on earth? Putting in simple terms, I would rather be an African with no plumbing, no electricity, and no Jesus Christ as my Savior than to be the wealthiest person in America and not know Him. And I'll tell you what, that is true in a lot of cases in Africa that I know of, probably in India and other places. But I know people in Africa live out in the bush, have no electricity. Think of your life with no electricity. Think of your life with no plumbing. I mean, our toilet doesn't work sometimes and we freak out. Get a plumber. I don't care if it's in the middle of the night, get a plumber. See? They don't even have plumbing. No electricity, no plumbing, no education. Yay, I don't have to go to school. But they know Christ and they love Him. They've been taught in the Spirit to love Him by the Holy Spirit. People, what is the real solution to man's problems? And by the way, best that I can tell you, a lot of these people are very happy. They have no electricity, no plumbing. They're very happy in Christ. He's all they need. He is enough. He is more than enough. And they're hungry. They don't know where the next meal's coming from, people. Maybe a banana, because it's right out there on the tree. I asked my wife, what'd you eat today? A banana. Oh, wow, whoopee. Man, you're doing real good. See? But let me tell you something. That's all some of them have. What's growing out there on the tree? They're happy in Christ. In Christ. People, we have to understand what is the makeup of man and understanding the platform of Jesus Christ. So point six, by rejecting the platform of evil and going to the cross, by dying, He offers man real freedom. Galatians 5:1, stand firm in the freedom wherewith Christ has set you free. That's freedom. 7, by rejecting the platform of evil, Jesus Christ went to the real nature of man, the divine view of anthropology. Man is more than a body. Man is a soul that needs to be saved evermore. And Jesus Christ offers that. See what we have happening in the world today? We've got it all twisted up. We want the government to take care of us, but we want to work for God. Be good for God. Be more for God. Do this. Obey the commandments. Do all these things. We're going to work for God. You got it wrong. You can't work for God. And when you let the government take care of you, you've given up your freedom. You've given up your identity. Got it just reversed. You got to work on Satan's earth. That's the curse. Salvation's free. Spiritual freedom is free. We don't owe Him anything. Well, we owe Him, but we're not technically to keep it. Oh, and this is how some people live. Oh God, He may take away my salvation if I sin. If I do this, He'll take away. I'll lose myself. I've lost my salvation because I did it. People, that's a horrible view of God. God doesn't control us that way. That's not God. That's government. We'll take away your food. We'll take away your Medicare. We'll take away these things. And finally, 8, Jesus Christ goes from the physical to the spiritual nature of man. Jesus Christ goes to the real issue. Okay, you'll be familiar with Satan's next tactic. Satan lost first round of the debate. He's lost the first round. So what do you do when you've lost? You attack the person. And we've seen that over the last 3 debates. You attack the person. Look at 5 and 6. Then the devil took him unto the holy city. Now, all of this has pertinency, but we're just studying the platform of the debate. And he had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down as it is written. He will give you His angels charge concerning you. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Okay. And if you notice what I did, I left out what Christ said. Man should not live by bread alone, but what? By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's what we live by. People, that's what we've got to live by. In America, we're so distracted now. We've got so many things of fun, of just interesting things, work, so many things to do. Sin, of course. We're too busy. We don't have time for Bible class. We don't have time for Bible class once a week here. Once a week! Studying the journey to the cross, which provides us the forgiveness of sin and eternal righteousness. I'm too busy. We're too busy in America. Our kids, unbelievable sports. They've got this. They've got this sport. They've got to play here. They've got to play this game. They've got to play that. We've got to be here. We've got to be there. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. I'm not even talking about work. Oh, you know, work gets in the way of all the things I got to do. And church definitely gets in the way. And the gym definitely gets in the way. See? I got too many things to do. We're too busy. We're too busy here. We don't need Him. We don't need His Word. I pray I'm wrong. But the time may come soon when you're going to need His Word. You'll be coming to me. Why don't we have class 3 times a week? Why don't we have it 4 times a week? Why don't you meet in different areas of the city so different ones of us can come? That's when I know you're hungry for the food of God. Now, he said man needs to live by the Word of God. So what does Satan do? He attacks the Word of God. He attacks the Word of God, verses 5 and 6. In attacking Jesus Christ, makes an ingenious move. Satan makes an ingenious move. Jesus Christ just said that the man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. So Satan now uses the Word of God, quotes the Word of God, to attack Jesus Christ for his second platform. People, you cannot use the Word of God to act independent of God. You can't do that. And that's what he wants Jesus Christ to do. Use the Word of God to act independent of God. So, Jesus Christ turns and looks at Satan eye to eye. Like the debate, they just sometimes looking off here, looking, but every now and then they just look at each other or want to look at the other in these debates. So here's Jesus Christ. He turns and looks Satan in the eye. First straightens him out on the misuse of Scripture. It is amazing how many denominations and movements misuse and misquote Scripture. Satan is totally frustrated. By the way, look what he said. Look what he said in our study. Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Well, Satan is now totally frustrated. He's lost 2 rounds of the debate. So he now tries to bypass the cross, which is exactly what man is trying to do today. Bypass the cross. Look at verses 8 and 9. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things will I give to you if you fall down and worship me. Bypass the cross. Will do what? It'll give universal peace. The last platform of Satan is universal peace. See, we have universal peace. By accepting the platform of Satan, Jesus Christ could have brought universal peace, one world government, not a matter of Christianity and the gospel versus Satan and anti-God, none of that. All think the same way in this universal peace. Jesus Christ refuses universal peace without the cross. Instead of the universal peace, Jesus Christ chooses the cross, offering to man eternal peace. Not temporary peace on earth, but eternal peace. And Jesus Christ promises that he will return and give to the world that peace that they think they want. But even then, they will revolt against it at the end of the millennial period. So here we are some 2,000 years later. Jesus Christ has not come. So Satan is urgent in setting up the need of man in his platform. This Jesus isn't working. He isn't coming back. There is no God. There's no Jesus as the Son of God. But to those who listen, Jesus Christ is coming again. Therein is our hope. And that's what we're getting ready to do in our communion. Do this in remembrance of me until I come. He's coming. I think soon, I don't know. But he's going to call home the rapture, call home the church. And his platform will be an eternal platform. And all people who have accepted Satan's platform of lies are going to be in a horrible, fearful place without Christ, without God. So to remind us of his coming, let's go into communion. And in celebration of communion, we have a special.
I mentioned of prayer during the prayer request time, brother-in-laws that had died this year. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. All of them were saved. Hallelujah. The one that has cancer now, extremely strong believer. He differs from me in that he's also intellectual. He's a professor. But he loves the Lord because, for many reasons, but his support system, my sister, is great in the Lord. It reminds me of Terry and Thomas. Thomas is going through a lot of things, but he has the people caring for him. He understands Christ. And this is what this song is about. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. He gave his lifeblood even for me. Let's stand as we sing this.
Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. Then came a Savior, our blessed Savior, to save a poor lost soul like me. Oh, what a Savior!
His side was
I think every one of you know the significance of both the bread and the cup and the bread. So with this in mind, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we may have needs and wants on earth. We have no needs or wants in our soul except to feast on your word. We praise you and we thank you, Father, for the God that you are. We pray now, Father, that as we celebrate the communion service and remember, he is coming again. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. It's our custom that everyone hold a cup until everyone has been served, or the bread until everyone has been served, and we will partake together. Peter was at the Last Supper with the Lord, First Communion, Last Passover, partook of it, and then walked with Jesus Christ across the Kindred with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then he denied him. He denied him three times. This last two Wednesday nights, we've been looking at the lessons to learn from Peter's denial. And the first lesson you want to learn from Peter's denial is that there's no loss of salvation. That's the first lesson. There are people who say, well, if you deny Christ, you lose your salvation. Well, then Peter should have lost his. But he didn't. And the second major lesson you want to learn, there are many, many lessons, but the second major lesson is the love of Christ. Peter looked into Christ's eyes as he cursed, using curse words, something a legalist would never do, looked at his face and cursing, denied even knew him. And he went out and wept bitterly, broken. After the resurrection, the first person that Jesus Christ sought out, now he's not the first person that saw Jesus Christ, that would be the women who came to the tomb, but the first person he sought was Peter. We're not told what they said. But I can imagine spiritual love of Christ coming to Peter and putting his arms around him. It's okay. People, we have such a Savior, such a friend. Because at the heart of all sin is denial, is it not? I don't care what we sin, driving down the road and get mad at somebody driving in front of you. You've denied that Christ can take care of it. So, this is things we learn about Jesus Christ. And his platform is dependent upon one primary thing. He's coming back. He's coming back to fulfill all the promises of the resurrection, all the promises to Israel. So we have this to remind us how we're saved and where we're going. So Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. It is our custom that everyone hold a cup till everyone is served, and we will take communion together. Will you please stand? In the same way, Jesus Christ took the cup after the Passover. Passover is over. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Father, though we may suffer in time, we are so thankful for your platform of grace. We are so thankful for the platform that promises us eternal life with you, that promises to us imputed righteousness, that promises to us so many wonderful things, Father, the mysteries that you have designed for us. This is a platform we want. Father, we thank you for all that you have done, and we pray, Father, that you will continue to guide this country, because, Father, we know you are in control. You are in control of the rise and fall of kings. All things are under your control. We have nothing to worry about on Tuesday. Our God is in control. And, Father, we thank you for that so much. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Pray that everybody will stay and have some food with us, fellowship.